We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs post-game show podcast, and a Bush bomb sends the Cubs to their first walk-off win of the season, 3-2 over the Padres. A thrilling game for multiple reasons. You had a lot of great stuff going on, but the most exciting part is that Cody Delmendo will do a beer bat chug courtesy of Blue Moon later tonight. This was a win that you will not forget this season.
Yeah, add this to the this team bangs folder. Yeah, that's what I'm going to add this one to the this team bangs folder.
Put it in there.
I think Niren said it best in the chat. You know, you got the full Jet experience, Imanaga and Bush, and then, you know, the decision to keep Imanaga in plus the bullpen stuff, you know.
Yeah, we're going to hit it all.
The roller coaster with Neris that inning beforehand. Like,
there was a lot packed
it was
into one night.
Jet experience. But either way, they won the game. They won a game. To me, good teams just find a way to win in games. No matter how bad it might look, no matter how great it might look. You know, the game on Sunday against Milwaukee to win that series, that was stress-free. That was awesome. This game, like, if anyone was tuning into the White Sox show at the end, Sean mentioned, you know, credit to Cody for not, like losing his mind, not screaming so that it came into our show's audio or whatever. And the reason that I didn't scream was because I was just exhaling because I was so mentally drained from that game because I just felt like they weren't going to win.
Mentally drained.
Yeah.
For another reason, the rain had started to fall and we were going to be here for another 2 hours.
I think I was getting a little bit of that from you too, for myself, because I do eventually have to go walk Corey's dog
Angina,
after the show,
you know,
and the dog that's currently at my apartment that I'm going to have to walk as well. So I'm just like, man, I can't deal with this rain. I feel like we're giving another game away. But again, this was one, again, I'm filing this one under the this team bangs folder. This was a great win, one that we'll remember for the rest of the year.
Great starting pitching. Great job to tie it back up after you give away a game, basically. Mm-hmm. And then Bush to come in and just do it on one pitch was spectacular.
First pitch.
Great vibes. Yeah. Great vibes. Shout out to everybody in the live YouTube chat. Best way to enjoy this is of course, subscribing to the CHGO Sports YouTube page so you don't miss any episodes. Also, sign up to be a diehard because then everything Ryan writes, you get to see. You get the newsletter. You get all of it. You get the merch discounts. You get the takeover discounts. Everything. So make sure you do that. We got a super chat already, $5 from Foreign Empire, always with us. The rain and the Chicago Cubs are best friends. We got a 10.34 chug tonight, and the year of the Codys continues.
I like that one.
That's right,
the
rain.
The year of the Codys, brother.
And the rain, too, right?
Yeah. The rain, Yeah, man. Maybe the rain was a sign.
This was like out of the natural. I just was waiting for the scoreboard to explode. All right. So Cody's going to do the
we'll pour.
Blue Moon beer bat chug. He's got it here in Studio B. By the way, we're not in Studio A because we chose not to. We said no for Bush and Bellinger, Studio B.
Yeah, don't let the facts get in the way of a good
Studio
story.
B.
Yeah.
We refuse. We've refused access to Studio A. We'll only take Studio B tonight.
I could set up a camera in there and we can look at a blank studio
That's right.
if you want.
Can't blame counsel. 80% of Shota is better than 100%. Of any other pitcher in the history of the game, says Caleb for $4 on the or $4.99 in the super chat. And Easy E says Shota was great, and unfortunately, the home run was hit on a great pitch. Thank you for the super chats. Let's see. Jake says 10.2 prediction. Barb, the godmother of the podcast, says 10.6.
Yeah.
Kiebert, 10.3. And the dedication, this is a tough call. I mean, is it gonna be Bush? Is it going to be Bellinger? Is it going to be Imanaga?
I mean, I think it has to go Bush. Because to me, all night, I was sitting on the couch bitching about the offense. They scored enough runs to win the game. Like, Imanaga, they could have taken Imanaga out, and someone else could have came in and blew the game, and then the chat would be complaining about whoever that was.
Well, right? We'll get to that.
It's all to
It'll
me,
still happen.
It will always be about the offense. If you do not score runs, you will lose baseball games. They scored enough runs to win tonight. And Michael Bush, who had been struggling, showed up first pitch in the ninth inning, and he hit it out of the park. So we could do the show earlier than we were all thinking we were going to have to.
So here is the beer bat.
All right.
Dedication.
So
to the great Michael Bush.
To Michael Bush.
Seventh home run of the season.
All right.
Cody Delmendo, when the beer hits his lips, and begin. The clock is on. Here goes Delmendo, Studio B. He's not usually as fast in Studio B, but he is tonight. Look at this. Right through the barrel of the bat, and wow. I've got 9.15. You've got 9.45. That's under 10 seconds. That is
under
not
10. Yeah.
That is not only a quality chug by rule, that is an excellent chug.
It seems to be staying down. That's good.
It seems to be staying down. There's less room to keep it in here, so.
I'll say that it was the energy from the setup man shirt I'm wearing. Shout out to Kyle. He listens and watches our show all the time.
Shout out, Kyle.
Shout out to Kyle. I'll say that is that helped. That helped.
A lot of support in the live YouTube chat for people suggesting that you were going to do under 10 seconds. I think even DFW Susie was saying something like 9.9. Don't let me down.
I can't ever let DFW Susie down.
There it is.
Can't ever do it. Even Godfather's giving
Look
me
credit. Look at Galvin joining from 35,000 feet. Yeah. United 2019 from Seattle to ORD. Oh, good Welcome, luck with Galvin. The landing.
Oh, my
please.
Gosh. Yes. You might Not be flying around Milwaukee for Woo. A while.
Good luck with the landing.
Let's go, man.
Anyways, listen, there's so much to be excited about. First of all, with Bellinger out, we've gotten nauseous just talking about this offense just doesn't have enough. Mm-hmm. Without Saya and Belly, they just don't have enough. And I'm shocked he's back this quickly with two fractured ribs. He's back. He said he's dealing with the pain. And not only did he come back, he was 3-for-4. He was great. And, you know, guys like Michael Bush, I said they don't have enough power. You know, it was basically like Morel hits a home run, or maybe you get lucky and Wisdom plays that day and he hits a home run. Otherwise, there's just not enough pop in the lineup without Saya and without Bellinger. And Bush is one of those guys that can give it to you, but it hasn't been as consistent. He had the big cluster early in the season. Then it was like, is it going to come back? And well, so what a way to end it for him to...
The thing is he's a rookie, so you know the league adjusted to what he was doing on that West Coast trip. So with guys like that, you have to ride the ups and downs. That's just the fact of the matter. You got like I'm still waiting for some sort of stretch that doesn't go well for Shota. I can't believe honestly that he was this good tonight, and with the fact that the Padres had already seen him once before.
That's what I said last night. I said this is his biggest test.
I expected him
second
to still
time
be
facing one team.
I expected him to still be good, but maybe just not as, you know, incredible. I thought he'd give up a few runs. And honestly, you know, you want to count that home run that Profar hit. Obviously, it counts. It's a earned run. But you know, I think a lot of us thought he was done after seven, right? If they take
I sure did.
Right. We all
print
did.
The shirt, show to me the Cy Young.
But
oh.
All I'm, the point I'm saying is with rookies, like guys are going to go through stretches. They're going to go through really good stretches and tough ones. And Bush had been going through a tough stretch. He had a few games in there where I thought like, okay, maybe he's coming out of it. And then yes, like Sunday struck out four times, didn't do much of anything yesterday, you know. So, you know, it was good to see him hit the home run. And like one of the games I thought he was starting to come out of it, he hit that triple on Saturday to help them score the insurance run against Milwaukee. So he's had some good games, but
the home run hasn't been there,
and obviously. He just hasn't been anywhere close to as hot as he was on the West Coast trip. So, you know, maybe this is a start. Again, with rookies, you got to take the lumps. You got to ride the highs and the lows. That's just the fact of the matter. So, there's only certain ones that don't nearly have to go through that. I mean, but even some of the best ones have, you know. Eli De La Cruz last year, for example, lit the world on fire his first, like, what, month, 2 months? And then the very last 2 months of the season, he was god-awful, all right? He was so bad that people started calling him overrated. And now he's doing what I've always thought he was going to do, and that's be one of the best players in the league.
Is he still on track for a 40-90 season?
Probably. Yeah. I'm not sure. But I'm just using him as an example, okay? So, yeah, I mean, with Bush, you got to continue to ride the highs and lows. I like the fact that he was in the seven hole today, considering how much he'd been struggling. Yeah. And with Bellinger back, the big thing for me is just that it just makes the lineup deeper. Like
changes it. Well, first of all, it moved Hap out of the three hole.
Finally. I swear to you, I threw a party in my apartment. I threw the biggest party. I celebrated so hard when I saw the lineup today. My God.
We got super chat.
I used to dream of times like this.
Yeah, I know you did. Super chat, $5 from Bear Forever 14. Bush said, "All right, hold my beer because I'm about to give this baseball a ride to San Diego on the Bush Light Express." And then JJ Smoove, the night of Cody's belly bomb and under 10 seconds. That's right.
There you go. It is the year of the Cody's. And Cody Rhodes. He kept the title at Backlash on
finished
Saturday.
Finished his story? Is that what they
said? He finished his story, and he's still the champion. Goes. It's still the year of the Cody's, all right? So, you know.
I'll tell you one other thing. This is going to go probably under the radar and not celebrated probably tomorrow on Sports Talk Radio, if you're listening to this in podcast form. But yes, Bush was a hero. Yes, Imanaga was a hero. Yes, Bellinger was a hero. But what did we say in the one-run games? If they're going to be in this many one-run games, then they've got to do the little things. You know what they did tonight? They manufactured a run to tie the game.
Yeah.
And they also had a nice play by Ian Happ in the outfield and a great play by Nico Hoerner. So two critical defensive plays, and they manufactured a run when they needed it even more than the home run. The run they needed the most was the manufactured run.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt like the defense overall was great tonight outside of the play between Amaya and Bush, and that was just a communication thing. So obviously you can't have that, and that's...
Hap's catch was great, though.
Yeah,
but not that Nico's wasn't, but Hap's catch was great.
Hap, if he doesn't catch that, the Padres get the lead back. That undoubtedly, in my opinion. So it was great that he caught it. When I looked it up on Baseball Savant, you know, Baseball Savant said that was like, it wasn't like a clear probable hit. Right. I don't remember the expected batting average, but I was actually surprised. And I was like, well, this doesn't make any sense. That looked pretty tough.
It did look tough.
He almost ran into he was running into the wall. You know, we already seen one of our other guys get hurt running into the wall. You know, that's a tough play. So I didn't really quite understand Baseball Savant's thinking on that. But, Nico's was definitely super impressive. That one had an .890 expected batting average. And just those little bloop pop-ups that, you know, always seem to drop, that was definitely one of them. And the fact that he made that catch It also saved a run. It legitimately saved a run because there was a man on third at the time with two outs. That ball drops. Another run for them. So, defense showed up when they needed it tonight. Shoto was great. You got three of the four aspects of the game for the most part in this one. And just enough offense. But hopefully that Bush homer helps ignite him a little bit going forward. You're going to get Seiya back by the weekend. I'm optimistic about the offense. And the pitching, there's not a lot to complain about the pitching tonight. So I won't do it.
One more quick super chat before we go to break. Belly is back. So is our offense. Hap with a major game-saving catch. Nico with some freak plays. Bush finding the ball at the right time. Justin, $4.99. Appreciate
thank you, Justin.
The super
thank
chat, you. Justin. You know what else I appreciate? Circa Sportsbook.
Ooh,
7 days a week.
I love Circa.
7 days a week.
Circa, I've loved their sportsbook in Vegas. I love their sportsbook in Waukegan. You should check it out. Their app is also pretty easy to use. And there's some things about that I really like about their sportsbook in general. Their tight money line splits is one, right? They strive to be a minus 110 split on their sports menu. Unlike other sports books, which may use minus 115 or minus 120, they keep as little money as possible on large market bets, especially compared to other books. They don't limit players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books who do limit winning players, and they encourage bettors to download and explore all sports betting apps available to compare the lines from each sports book so you can just see how much better their odds are on some of the most normal bets. And then finally, their customer service is second to none. I've had to talk to them before about the app, and it's super easy. And it's my favorite thing because I don't like chatbots, which is something if you do with like all the other sportsbooks. All right, all aspects of their app are being run by the same team at Circa Sportsbook, at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. So download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Also be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you may know have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER, text GAMB to 833-234, or visit areyoureallywinning.com. And hopefully I'll learn how to talk one of these days.
You'll be just fine. Hey, guys. Penrose Seltzers from Geneva, Illinois. Seltzups, hard seltzers with real fruit, led by Lemon Seltzup, a national gold medal winning hard seltzer with real lemon. We created our unique twist on a lemon shakeup with a house-made hard seltzer and pureed lemons for a throwback to warm weather and county fairs. Also available, lemon tee-up, half and half, inside a hard seltzer. Just released this year, Transfusion Seltzup, inspired by the popular golf cocktail with grape, ginger, and lime. Penrose is available at your local beverage retailer, or you can visit Penrose's tap room in Geneva. Great little town. For more information, go to penrosebrewing.com or follow them on social media at Penrose Brewing. Love Geneva, Illinois. Good place. You know what else I like? Comeback wins. I love it when the pitcher shoves.
Yeah.
Oh, and did he shove? But without the power of two guys, you're not there. Cody Bellinger and Michael Bush provided the power for today's game presented by Illinois Pork Producers. Savor the flavor, savor the gains, and celebrate any occasion by enjoying the best pork produced by Illinois pig farmers. It was Bellinger with the home run in the fourth inning. That's his sixth home run of the season. And then Bush walks it off in the ninth with his seventh of the season. Dare I say, the killer bees led to flying the W.
Are you using the same thing that the Astros back when I was a kid used?
Yeah, and also the Miami Dolphins had the killer bees were their offensive linemen for a while. Back like when they played in the Super Bowl against the Redskins.
With the Astros, it was what?
Now,
83.
With the Astros.
No longer that team.
With the Astros, it was what? Biggio, and Berkman, Bagwell. And Bagwell.
And Derek Bell.
Bell, yeah.
Did you say Derek Bell?
Yeah.
Those
are the only three. It was really mostly Biggio and Bagwell, but yeah, Berkman too.
Yeah.
Anyways,
we're taking it. We're stealing it for the day. The killer bees.
Or maybe for a long time coming, just because Bellinger is Bush Bellinger, and I, you know, we need Bush to be good, right?
Listen, they provided the power, and it's something the Cubs have desperately needed. So to get those two taters at the right time tonight was really key. Also, by the way, one day after people in the chat and on Twitter were attacking Jed Hoyer for being a fool and a buffoon and an idiot and all those things, he looks like a genius tonight because Shota
looks like the steal
of the offseason, and Michael Bush again looks like, despite what some think, you know, he might have given up a really good pitcher, but we don't know yet. Looks like a good play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what to say about Shota. I mean, 7 innings, 2 earned runs, ERA at 1.08. That was 30 consecutive innings by Cubs starters. 30 straight innings by Cubs starters without an earned run. Second longest streak by the franchise since at least 1912 when they had 33 in a row. That is from historian Ed Hartig. Been in his basement once. You should see it. Ed's basement is just books and files. It's the regular suburban basement. You know, it's like... Mm-hmm. It's furnished. He's got a ping pong table, but the rest of it was all books. And
so it would have been 31 if he didn't give up the homer to Profar.
Yes, right. And I mean, listen, here's the question. Was he in too long?
Yes.
Okay. I tweeted.
But you can't. This is all I'm going to say. I don't disagree that he was in too long. However, I want everybody to realize you can't have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say last night, leave the guy in. We don't have any relievers. Leave him in. And then the next night be like, take him out. He was in too long. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the fourth time. It was the fourth time through. Right. He was over 100, you know.
Yeah.
I get it. I was surprised he came out.
Right. So
to pitch.
I tweeted it. Like, I thought he was coming out to face Arias. Left-handed hitter.
Which was a little, not a hard hit ball. It was
just
a dribbler.
Just one batting title last year, right? I thought he was coming out to face Arias. And then Arias, gets that ball just past Nico Horner. Would have been an incredible play if Nico made that. And then Profar comes up. And again, it was for the fourth time. I didn't like that he stayed in to face Profar or just anyone. Like, if he would have got Profar, who knows what happens after that. All I know is that I'm with you. I was surprised he came back out, but I didn't hate that he came back out. I hate that he stayed in after Arias.
Brendan Miller, our guy, Brendan Miller, teammate, says I would have let Shota pitch 150 pitches. Seems excessive.
Seems like a little too much.
Probably too much.
Does Brendan think it's 2008?
I was going to say, is Brendan Dusty Baker?
Yeah.
Or he thinks he's Fergie Jenkins.
I also don't understand because Almonte's been great. And they had Almonte up.
When is Ben Brown going to pitch?
Maybe
that was
tomorrow.
My thing. Like, I would have brought it in a perfect world. And obviously this is second guessing, but in reality, that's what I was thinking last night. I thought Ben Brown was the piggyback yesterday. It didn't happen. So then tonight, when Shota was done, I thought, well, here they'll get up Ben Brown and he'll go in.
Yeah.
I now assume that he's the piggyback for Wesneski tomorrow.
Yeah.
I guess.
All I know is that for me at least, that's what I would have done. And if it would have still, if Almonte comes in and gives up a 2-run homer, then we'd be sitting here complaining about that too. But Almonte has been good. He's kind of been, outside of Leiter, he's been the other guy that's been consistently fine. So I would have been okay if he pitched. Now, maybe the matchup was better because I know Profar also, he's a switch hitter. So maybe he's better from the left side than he is the right side. Either way, Profar has been one of the hottest hitters to start the year. And again, he was facing Shota for the fourth time. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Arias didn't start today. You could have gotten away with one against Arias. I don't like him getting to face them a fourth time through the lineup when it's a, you know, a 1-0 game or whatever it was. You know?
My whole thing though is I get that the bullpen is a problem.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But it's the eighth inning. If you don't have 6 outs in that bullpen tonight, I mean, that's, come on. You gotta.
Well, I mean, had they lost this game, this would have been a stretch of 30 innings without an earned run from your starters, and they would have been 2-3 in those 5 games. That would have been horrific. And I'll tell you this much. I see a lot in the live chat, and this is because this is how we fan, a lot of us. Everybody's like, I'm okay with it. It was a decision. Let Shota go. Let him go. You know, I'm totally okay with the decision. However, had Bush not walked that game off, and had they lost this game,
yes,
there were, I guarantee our reactions.
You sound like Charles Barkley, but I'm
it would have been all over Craig Council. I already saw on Twitter when they took the lead. Mm-hmm. I thought this guy was supposed to know what he was doing.
Yep.
Sure must be nice to have hater, whether that makes your job a lot, you know.
Someone in my replies said something about, I thought Council was good at bullpen decisions.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, like,
A walk-off makes everything feel better.
No matter what, if they won or lost, that's how I felt. Going with them to Arias is fine, but I didn't like him coming out there or staying out there to face the lineup that had already seen him 4 times or 3 times. So, anyway, again, Shota was great, and it sucks that he gave it a 2-run homer, because before the 2-run homer, he had a 0.65 earned run average entering the eighth inning, which is just ridiculous. And the fact that he did this on a night that the wind was blowing out, and he's like been sold as this like fly ball pitcher, pretty incredible. And the strikeouts continue to come. And again, this was the second time that he faced the Padres, and he looked just, you know, just fine. And so, man, he continues to just be a weapon, man. He's been incredible. If you get this type of season from Shota, like all season, with Steele being back and Steele continues to do what he did last year, and Tyone, like, your rotation is way better than anyone thought. I remember in the offseason.
Don't disrespect the ass man.
Well,
don't forget him.
The
now.
Thing about the ass man is I just don't know if he's going to be in the rotation all year. And I'm not saying that's my decision. I'm just going based off what.
Well, you can't take him out right now.
Right. I agree. But again, Kyle Hendricks made a rehab start in Iowa today. Okay. And I'm just saying they're going to give him an opportunity. And Jordan Wicks will be back as well.
Wicks might be a guy that's headed to the bullpen. And really, no fault of his. It's just that right now.
I don't know about that. He's never been in a bullpen ever in his professional career.
I'm not taking Assad out. You're not taking Tyone out.
Again, I'm just saying that the question is still out there. That's the only reason I didn't say it. Not saying that I support it. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. But you have those three of Steele, Imanaga, and Tyone is your top three with the rest of the depth that they had. And the pro, you know, everyone complained about the bullpen. If you're able to put Wesneski and Brown and even Assad into the bullpen, it's only going to make the bullpen better if you can get quality innings out of Jordan Wicks and Kyle Hendricks too.
But now Assad is like, he's 1 or 2 in ERA in the National League.
I understand that.
Right? So again, I don't know the numbers. I'm not a Stucky Stats is what I follow. And if I don't follow that, then I go to Delmetrics. That's what I go to next. But something came across my screen. Maybe the pitch doctor can tell me. Was there a stat today that now ranks Shota's fastball as the most effective pitch in baseball so far this season?
I did not see this.
That rising fastball, is that what I saw? That it got the highest grade currently this season? I mean, there's no question it's become a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
He had those strikeouts in that. What inning was that? Where he got Machado?
Mm-hmm. It's probably the second time through the lineup.
He went on Machado. I think it might have been the third time through.
There was one strikeout of Machado that it was 92 inside, and it wasn't even at the top of the zone. It was like middle in. And he swung and missed it.
What's going on? Brendan in the live YouTube chat has become me. He's talking about tiramisu, and I'm talking about pitch stats. What's going on here? It's like we flipped roles.
Well,
Shota's fastball has indeed prevented more runs than any other fastball, Brendan Miller.
Yeah. It has to be like the arm slot or something.
Galvin says that Ryan posted that tonight. Credit to Ryan.
Hopefully
he's going to join us from beautiful historic Wrigley Field before this is all over.
I didn't see that. I'm not doing my job as social media person well enough.
We got another super chat. Credit look at this, Mo.
To criticize myself.
That's right.
No one criticizes themselves like I criticize myself.
Now here's Mo for $10 super chat. We appreciate it. Just think how big the Glasnow acquisition would have been. Glasnow, Steele, Imanaga, Tyone, Assad. You move Wesneski, Wicks, and Brown to the pen early. Hoyer definitely needs to make a move. I think they're showing you. Well, we'll see if this holds up. I believe the Cubs are third in ERA in Major League Baseball for starters, which is sort of hard to believe considering the numbers you've seen. I think it's the Red Sox and forget who the other team is that it's ahead of them. But I think they're third in all of baseball. And then that was before tonight's game, obviously, by Imanaga.
What was the super chat again? What about Tyler Glasnow?
Well, Glasnow. Imagine if you had Glasnow at the top of the rotation. It was Glasnow, Steele, Imanaga, Tyone,
sure,
and Assad.
And hindsight.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that.
In
however,
hindsight, right now, what I also want to see him make 30 starts.
But what
he's never done that.
And so. what if Glasnow? I don't know. I can't argue against it. That's true.
Yeah. He's saying that in hindsight. And the argument against Glasnow in the offseason was that he had never made 30 starts in entire career. I don't want to say that he was injury prone.
I don't want him to get hurt.
He had a lot of injury problems, all right? That said, I was all for him. And, you know, like it would have been a nice piece to the rotation for sure. Like I don't necessarily disagree with Mo. I'm just saying.
No, I don't either.
That was the thing against him was that he was kind of, you know, he had never made 30 starts in his career. So we'll see if he makes 30 starts this year. And the Dodgers are sure as hell hoping he is because they paid him a ton of money after they traded for him.
I don't think he had any interest in coming here. He was set to go there anyway. Well, that was his dream. He wanted to be there.
Did he say that?
Yeah, they all said that. And they all went there.
I say a lot of things, too. I don't mean
it. It is super
I say a lot of things about people or about things whenever people give me
Well,
money.
Let me tell you something that you can believe. Tonight was made better because we had Salerno's in the building.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Oh, baby.
I needed that pizza.
I went cheese and sausage.
Same.
Bingo.
I did a little of that, a little sausage and green pep.
I took the corner pieces. Sorry, everybody.
Shout out to the Blackhawks for having a draft pick.
Draft party. Number two
Lottery.
Overall.
Yeah.
Stop by Salerno's on tap, located at 1201 West Grand in Chicago's West Town, and enjoy our tavern-style pizza and ice-cold beers. Whether you're headed to the game, want to watch it live on our big-screen TVs, or watching from home, we've got you covered. Go to salernospizza.com or call 312-666-3444. Mention CHGO and get half off your pizza.
Unreal.
That's 50% for you numbers people. Yeah. Head to salernospizza.com or call 312-666-3444 for more information. Don't forget, mention CHGO and get half off your pizza. How's that for you? And then, how do you wash it down when you get home? Well, some beers can say they're brewed for baseball, but only Blue Moon is brewed by baseball. Beer and baseball just go together, and no beer goes better than the one that was literally born in a ballpark. Blue Moon was created at Coors Field in Denver. It's the natural choice all season long. Oh, the weather last weekend was just screaming, give me a Blue Moon. Nice night tonight until it started raining too, let me tell you. Nothing beats watching baseball or lounging by the pool or hanging out at the lake or on a boat with ice cold Blue Moon. Blue Moon was brewed by baseball to give you a dose of nostalgia and get you excited for the season. A beer this good only comes around once in a blue moon. But you can enjoy it all season long. Bring the ballpark to you with Blue Moon Belgian Style Wheat Ale. It's one of a kind every time. Get Blue Moon delivered by visiting get.bluemoonbeer.com/CHGO to see your delivery options. That's get.bluemoonbeer.com/CHGO. Blue Moon, made brighter. Celebrate responsibly. Blue Moon Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
You know, it makes sense. You said it was born in the ballpark.
Yeah.
It makes sense why the Rockies suck. They're too busy brewing beers, apparently.
Perhaps. Yeah, but they made a good beer.
They did make a good
delicious
beer,
beer, but, you know.
Make a heck of a beer. They don't make a heck of a baseball team.
Baseball games.
Susie Hunter should ask, like, the Rockies ownership or something about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure they'd love it. We got another super chat?
Yeah, Fernando.
Our guy, Nando. Bush saves the day on my birthday. Go Cubs, W, and happy birthday, Fernando.
Happy birthday.
It's always better when you win on your birthday because I swear when you lose on your birthday or when they lose on your birthday, like, it's coming up. You don't forget. I still haven't forgotten last year.
Big day coming up for Cody.
Yeah.
Wait, you said Cody's birthday?
Cody's birthday is coming up next Friday 120 Club. Yeah. Can you imagine all the green Friday 120 Club shirts, which you can, of course, get at allchgo.com right now. Hottest selling shirt, I believe, 100 of them already gone. Bing, 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 bing,
bing, bing, bing, bing.
We had the bleachers looking real green. And like I've said, pretty soon, Boog's not going to be able to ignore us.
Yeah.
He's going to have to identify that the entire left field bleachers is all green.
Come on, Boog.
He's going to have to look out and just say, this looks like Augusta National. It's nothing but green out there. It's green outfield, it's green ivy, and it's the green Friday 120 Club. And on Cody's birthday, when they're all singing happy birthday to Cody, after right field sucks, they'll be singing happy birthday to Cody. That's when vibes will be at an all-time high. And when they take Braggs out of the basket after a home run one time.
Perhaps what Luke just said is all true, perhaps. We get another super chat from Mo.
What do you got here?
$5. Okay, so if Hoyer is going to make a move for reliever or starter, Lizardo, Scott, who gets moved or who would you give up for a reliever right now? I guess for me, you know, I'm honestly a lot more interested in Lizardo than I am Scott. Like, Scott his whiff and K rate is down this year compared to last. That doesn't mean I don't think he can be good, but we're talking about a lockdown closer. Like, I guess you could say he was last year, but he hasn't been that this year, in my opinion, based off what I was looking at on Baseball Savant today and in recent days. But again, that doesn't mean I wouldn't take him, but I'm not sure that necessarily fixes your problem. Now, Lizardo is a guy that if you want to bolster rotation, great. Like, I'm not against that. And, I think his numbers I've just been kind of hurt for the fact that the Marlins kind of suck. But he pitched pretty well whenever he came to Wrigley for them, and he was pretty good with the Marlins last year. As far as what I'm giving up for Scott, I'm definitely not giving up any of the top 100 guys in the farm system. I'm willing to give up someone in the top 20 for Scott.
Canario?
Yeah, I'm willing to give up Canario. The thing is that he'll be a rental. Like, he's not
Canario and a lower... Sure. I don't know what the asking price. The asking price now is probably more than it will be later because you're getting more of the season for a guy.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. I know we sit here a lot of nights and say the bullpen's just not good enough. Mm-hmm. I still sort of believe that patience is the right path for the Cubs here because you can see what the rotation's doing and you can see that arms will be starting to filter down to the bullpen and should help at least get them through the stretch. I'm not willing to give up one of the top prospects in May.
Yeah. I'm not giving
to
up.
To see if I have a team that's good enough to win the division. I want to know the team's going to win the division and then add that guy for a big playoff push.
Sure.
That's when I'm willing to give up a bigger
And everyone has been talking about Mason Miller as well, the guy for the A's who's throwing like 102 miles an hour.
Oh boy, be careful when a guy throws that hard that his arm's not going to fall off and then you've given up all your prospects for it.
Well,
I'm not saying it's the right or wrong move. I'm just saying, wow, I don't know if I'd do it in May.
Well, he's not someone who's on the market in May.
No.
Because the A's
aren't on the market in May.
The A's aren't selling right now. They're like the real major league right now. They're the movie major league right now with the fact that they're supposed to be sucking, but they're not sucking, right? With Mason Miller, he hasn't even hit pre-arb. He's going to cost so many prospects. I am not giving up Cade Horton for a reliever. I'm not giving up Kevin Alcantara for a reliever. And I'm not giving up Matt Shaw for a reliever or Owen Casey. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it.
I'm not giving up the farm for a reliever. I'm not. Not a top 100
now,
guy.
Maybe
not
one of them
it.
For Bo Bichette, but that's another story.
If we're talking about an impact player that can play every single day for your team, okay, let's talk. But I'm not doing it for a reliever in May. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. I've watched this movie before. I'm not doing it. So with Scott, I think you can get him for a guy that's not in the top 100, considering it is his last year with the Marlins. And they traded Arias to the Padres, and the Padres didn't even send their top prospects for Arias. And, I mean, that guy just won a batting title last year. So I don't know what's going on with Miami. They're always just, you know, doing all kinds of crazy shit that doesn't make any sense to me.
Jed has talked to him. The lines of communication are open, but that doesn't mean a deal is
getting
done. I don't
think it's like a point of desperation for the Cubs right now either, because I'm with you. Because once Wicks is back and Hendricks is back,
see how it plays.
You're
out.
Allowed. You can move Ben. You can have Ben Brown in the bullpen consistently. You can have Hayden Wisniewski in the bullpen consistently. Cade Horton is going to debut at some point, and I feel pretty good about him in the bullpen if they want to try that out. And who knows? Maybe I'm wrong about this Jordan Wicks thing. Like, he's never pitched in the bullpen before, but if they want to go with him to the bullpen, fine.
Maybe he's the long relief guy.
Maybe. But I'm sorry, man. I'm not doing it in May. I'm not doing it in May. Everyone was worried about the bullpen last year at the beginning of the year, and they figured it out. And I know everyone wants to blame the bullpen on what happened in September, and it does have its faults, but I still blame the offense mainly for what happened in September last year. So that's how I feel. I will come to agreement in the fact that, yeah, they need to add bullpen help for sure. They need a better late inning reliever. They need a guy. They definitely need a guy. But
they might even need the guy. But
I just don't
May,
think.
I don't
just
know
don't
if
think
May
on May 6th is,
that doesn't
is
mean
the
we
time.
Don't, that doesn't mean we don't think.
Yeah.
That there's massive need for improvement.
Right. And the discussion of it on social media has just been so like exhausting, because it's just the same people, it's the same thing every single day, especially when, you know, a certain reliever gives up runs or this and that. But I just don't think that it's time for an extreme amount of like desperation or whatever. I did two threads today. One thread was games the Cubs had no business winning. They've won six games. I went through the schedule and I found six games they had no business winning. And then I went through the schedule and found games that they blew. Lead. And you know how many games that added up to? Six. So it's evened out at this very point. All right. I know some people might think there's more than six, but if you really just look at it in general and look at how those games were played out, there were six games that they should have won, and there were six games they had no business winning that they did win. All right. So to me, I don't think everything in the pitching is as bad as everyone thinks. I really don't. And I know people aren't going to agree with me on that, and that's fine. I don't tell y'all how to think. All right. And you're not going to tell me how to think. So you guys can all yell in the chat about it if you want. But I just think once the rotation is at full health and you can take some of these guys who have been in the rotation helping you out in roles that you didn't expect them to be in this year, once you can put them in the bullpen, it's going to help. I really do think that.
Your bullpen in mid-June could, I don't know if this is how it's going to work out, could potentially have Ben Brown, Hayden Wisniewski, Jordan Wicks, Cade Horton. Who else am I missing? Almonte.
Luke Little could be back.
Merriweather when he comes back. I'm just saying, like, yeah. Now you start looking at it and say, well, wait a minute. Remember, bullpens are a thing that can be great in the first half of the season, horrible in the second, and vice versa. They're so volatile. That's another reason I don't necessarily.
Lighter. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, all of a sudden you could look at it and say, wow, that rotation in that bullpen could really be a strength if you can get to that point. But Neris, because closers right and bullpens are that volatile, it's another reason why I'm not willing to panic yet in early May and mortgage the future of the franchise for someone that maybe is unnecessary at this point, because, and I know every game matters, and I know they're in a tight division, but I'd still rather see the team show me that they're a playoff team for sure before I'm really pushed to make that move. And it's still, you know, it's still coming within like 7 weeks, but yeah. I'm just saying today, I don't think you have to call somebody up and make an irrational decision to go get that bullpen arm today. By the way, did you see on Twitter the Wilson Contreras? Listen, I know a lot of people were mad at Wilson Contreras over the way things went down at the end and things he said and about going to St. Louis.
People were mad.
I mean, I feel awful. I mean, don't watch the video.
Yeah,
if you're thinking about going to Twitter to watching the video of him breaking his arm tonight,
yeah,
catcher's interference, the bat hits his arm. I mean, it's one of those, if you're paying close enough attention, it's one of those ugly.
Yeah,
it's not a fracture.
Yeah,
it's not just a fracture. It's brutal, and he's in agony on the field.
Yeah, sucks. And as someone who has openly been very loud about my disdain for him since he went to St. Louis, I mean, I would never wish injury on a guy. All right. So, the irony in all of that play is that Miles Michaelis was on the mound and the injury happened from a JD Martinez like backswing.
Yeah.
And we all remember what happened with Ian Happ last year.
It's just not. And there's no way that's a hairline fracture. You could see the thing. You could see it moving in his sleeve.
Right. So, how he ran off the field and everything in pain like that. Yeah, that's
Edward.
That sucks.
Edward's not on Twitter, so no problem. Oh wow, you're my hero. Edward's not on Twitter.
I'm not gonna lie.
That's legendary.
Yeah. I won't lie to you. I've been on TikTok a lot more over the last 2 months than I have been on Twitter. It's the only way I can mentally get through the season anymore.
It's an awful injury. It was hard to look at, and I kind of wish I had never actually watched it. We have 341 watching the live YouTube chat right now. How many likes do we have?
It doesn't seem to add up.
Please hit the like button, please.
You're still wishing. Hit the like button as we sit here and we wait for Ryan Herrera to join us from Electric Wrigley Field.
Yeah, we gotta, you know, come on. Let's go.
As far as, you know, that was just the first tough thing for the Cardinals. They lost again. Like, they're really free falling right now.
I mean, that's a shame.
It is a shame. I say that with so much sarcasm.
I believe he was like their best hitter at this point.
He was having a really good offensive season. Yeah.
Yes, he says Twitter is toxic. Yeah.
Obviously. Get well soon, Wilson, but keep losing games, Cardinals.
Yes, both of those things can be true.
Yeah. Brewers, freaking Willy Adames, 3-run homer in the top of the 9th inning. Cubs would be in first place if the Royals didn't blow it tonight. It's tough.
Or if they had a real closer, they'd be 5 games up. No, sorry. I mean, it's all, everything's true, but I'm just saying, I think I've come to the realization in the last week that it's,
I can't.
If you could get an affordable deal, sure, but I just wouldn't overpay right now you have that group of guys potentially moving into the bullpen.
No one wants to acknowledge the games they had no business winning. No one wants to do it. We all know there is at least five to six games, maybe even more if you want to get real technical. There is at least 5 to 6 games this year that they probably did not deserve to win, but they managed to pull out. It is evened out at this point. And you know what? I'd probably be a little bit more critical about it if they weren't 22-15. Last year around this time, they were like barely 500. All right. 7 games up above 500 in May. A lot of season to go.
Yeah.
With a lot of guys still to debut. You've had a ton of injuries. Sure, you can say, oh yeah, they're fortunate to be here, but also they are here because they've won games. I don't know, man. Like, it's like I said at the beginning of the show, like, good teams just find ways to win. You know?
They do.
I don't know what else to say to people.
Cubs found a way. We got 331 viewers.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ryan Herrera joins us from beautiful, historic, electric Wrigley Field after the Cubs beat the Padres on a walk-off home run by Michael Busch. What was it like at the ballpark, Ryan? Because on television, it looked like that was, as I said, electric.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, talking about, like, obviously Busch's home run was a great finish to a pretty even ball game. You know, Imanaga, it was loud throughout Imanaga's start. Like, he just goes out there and continues to pitch gems. Like, I know he gave up the two-run home run, gave up the lead and got taken out, and that was the eighth, right? Yeah, eighth. But even that, like, you look back on it, like, him, Council, like, everyone was saying, like, it was a good pitch. He just got hit, right? He just got beat. You look at it, it was a slider below the zone on 2-2. You know, guy doesn't swing at it, might be a ball, but you still got another ball to work with, and Profar just put a really good swing on it and takes it out. So, a great atmosphere here at Wrigley today. Michael Busch's his home run, walk-off home run. I think he said it's the first home run like he's ever had, or walk-off home run he's ever had. So the first one to have at the big league level is pretty cool. But, first pitch, rain starting to come down, rain delay potentially on the horizon, and he takes it out.
My heart just skipped the beat again.
We know Ryan for sure was, like, praying for that game to end quickly.
Well, it was funny because, like, after the game, we were talking to Miguel Amaya. I think he asked about Busch's home run, and his quote was, it was fantastic. He didn't want the rain delay. And immediately in my head, I'm like, yeah, no, we didn't want that either. We did not. We were, none of us wanted that. So,
Just your opinion, how surprised were you when Shota came out for the eighth inning?
I thought, because what it was, yeah, like 95 pitches or something like that at that point. Yeah. I thought maybe his day was done. But this was Craig Counsell's fourth time through.
Yep.
Yeah, it would have been the fourth time through. So Craig Counsell, the way he explained it, told Shota that it was going to be, a couple more hitters. They were anticipating Luis Arraez pinch hitting right there, the number nine hitter, and obviously he did. So that was the matchup that he wanted. Clearly, got I think it was a ground ball to center field, if I'm not mistaken, for Arraez. And then I mentioned Profar's home run. I'm kind of indifferent. I didn't disagree with it, but I was like, okay, if he would have taken him out and put it on Monte to start the inning, would have been fine with that too. Didn't work out, obviously, because he gave up the two-run home run. But like I said, like, the pitch was a good pitch. The only thing that Imanaga said he would change, like, he wouldn't change the pitch, but maybe how he used the pitch clock. And he felt like he was rushing, so maybe a little bit longer of a pause, change up the tempo a little bit. Maybe he could have got a better result on that. But, I think sometimes you just get beat. And after hearing Craig Counsell talk about it, after hearing, Shota kind of analyze the last at-bat before, obviously, the home run, him coming out, I think it makes a little bit more sense why, a guy's dealing, right? Everyone hates taking a guy out when he's dealing. I know he's at 95 pitches, but at this point, we're seven starts in. Like, it does feel like a time where you can push Shota a little bit more, as, especially if the matchup that – if you feel he's best suited for the matchup ahead, it does make sense. So I don't disagree. I was a little bit surprised to see him come back out, but I don't disagree with him coming back out either.
I mean, you have Shota, you have Busch, you have Assad. Who am I missing? What? Imanaga, obviously.
You're talking about, what do you like?
Well, I'm thinking back to Jerome Walton and Dwight Smith finishing 1-2 for National League Rookie of the Year. Somebody in the chat just said, you're going to have three guys. Yeah, I mean, I know it's early in May, but if you're looking for an infusion of good young players, we've seen it. I don't know what level fans want it to happen at, but the Imanaga signing is pushing this thing forward. If he continues to pitch this way, it's pushing forward the progress that the team has already made. I just never expected him to be this good.
And no one did. Like, just straight up, no one did.
Especially this early. Especially this early. Like, the way he's gone
Where's the adjustment period?
Yeah.
that's what we're like, you know, everyone's expecting that, and he just continues to go out and looks like he's getting better and better every start he goes out there. I don't want to say there's not going to be an adjustment period, but like it's starting to seem like when is that going to come actually?
Right. And Ryan, I was saying last night, and we, you know, we're talking about it on the couch too, that this was the first time he was facing a team for the second time. So it's sort of like the, you know, now the scouting report is that this is a team that had a scouting report on him. They had eyeballs on what he does during the game, which is a big different. It's a totally different view than just like watching video of a guy and saying, oh, I know what that's going to look like. Once you've seen it, to see it again, I mean, to me, it was the biggest test he's had, and he crushed it.
Yeah.
Crushed it. How big was it to have Bellinger back and have a game like that?
Yeah, that's huge. And, you know, talking about it, like, clearly we watched the game. Like, the offense isn't fixed just because Cody Bellinger's back, and there's still guys struggling, you know, not taking advantage of a starter that they probably should have, losing out on a couple opportunities to score throughout the game to add on to the 1-0 lead. But obviously Bellinger gave, you know, the home run his first game back. I think he had three hits today, if I'm not mistaken. So, like,
yeah,
didn't look like he really missed. Yeah, well, he had three hits, but even that first at bat, it was 12 pitches. Yeah. So really didn't look like he missed a beat. So you hear, you know, Craig Council talking how just important it is just to get his bat back in the lineup. You talk about, you know, everyone else in the lineup talking about how important he is to what they want to do. And yeah, the offense still didn't have their best game. Like, they could have. Certainly could have scored more runs, certainly could have been better. But to have Bellinger in there, part of the lineup to, you know, help this offense move along. You know, he obviously the big single in the eighth inning too, to move Mike Tauchman over to third and before Morel's sack fly. Like, just having a hitter like that other teams, you know, with one swing of the bat can completely change a game. Adding that into the lineup is just huge overall. And you saw it pay off today with some timely hitting from him, whether that's the home run or the single in the eighth, just getting hits on the board, getting the Cubs on the board. And, you know, that's why everyone all offseason talked about how much they wanted Bellinger back on the team. That's why, as he's been out the last few weeks, they've talked about how, you know, great it will be to have him back in the lineup. It's for reasons like that, a guy that can, you know, go out, change the game with one swing, and just continues to provide offense when the offense is still in a stretch that just needs it from whoever can give it to them.
You want to refresh our minds or tell the folks that don't know yet what the injury updates are on the players that are out there still?
Yeah, so obviously Bellinger came back today. Seiya Suzuki is going on a rehab assignment starting to I believe he went out today, but he starts tomorrow with Iowa, and I think the from Craig Council, the goal, the plan is to have him be out there tomorrow and Thursday, and then the hope or the plan is that Friday or Saturday he can rejoin the team one of those 2 days, obviously be activated and rejoin that lineup. Daniel Palencia went to the IL today. He with the right shoulder strain, and he said yesterday that final pitch he threw, he felt it, reported it to Council and the trainers and whatnot, and that they wanted to give it to the night to see how it felt coming in this morning, and obviously just at a point where they felt it necessary to put him on the IL. No clear timetable, but it felt like it doesn't seem to be a completely serious thing. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't know for sure that a minimum stint on the IL is going to happen, but it doesn't seem like it would be much longer than that, just based on the way they've talked about it. But yeah, he obviously on the IL and gonna need more reinforcements to that bullpen. But one of them, Drew Smyly, threw a bullpen today. Jordan Wicks also threw a bullpen today, I believe. So a couple other arms continuing to progress towards coming back, rejoining the team in some form, some role. And you know, that's been the story so far, is the Cubs keep winning games, but they could use a lot of these guys that are on the injured list to just help them get through it.
I mean, I completely forgot about Drew Smyly. We were talking about the guys that potentially could be in the bullpen, you know, in a few weeks or in a month, and you're coming up with a pretty good list of names. And I forgot that Drew Smyly, I mean, at times he's been very effective in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. So I know not all of it's been that way, but that could be a big thing too. Anything else you want to tell us before we do the real quick awarding me who you got?
You know, let's just get to it.
All right, who you got? I mean, I had Bellinger. I took the belly vibes. As soon as I heard he was back, I took him. Three for four, home run. As you mentioned, the one time he didn't get a hit, the at-bat was 12 pitches. It was spectacular. It infused energy into the team. It was motivating. It was heroic, some would say. And that was the out.
I mean, the only issue
that was
Stucky,
the out. Back the to back, who you got picked, wins.
Stucky picked the who you got before the lineup came out, and I thought that was a rule we agreed on, that you have to wait till the lineup came out.
We ruled you could do it, but if the guy's not in the lineup, you just take the L. You know?
Right. Which is what I did on Sunday. I took Master Boney before the lineup came out, and then the Cubs won. So, you know, credit to me. I took Ian Happ tonight, Cubs won. Credit to me.
I'm doing the math here. I don't have the paper in front of me, but I remember I am now 11 for 37. Is that how many games it is? 37 games.
There you go.
So it's 297 percentage right there. Stucky, you are 9-33.
That's back-to-back wins.
Nine out of
three. Back-to-back wins for me.
You are percentage points away below me. 273 to 290 something.
The official, the discrepancy report has not been filed.
The
commissioner's office has not seen a discrepancy report. But anyway,
the commissioner's office would delete it on accident again.
Craig says hashtag suspend Luke.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not the creepy guy from the Indianapolis Star, whatever was going on there. Hey,
don't get me started about that guy. I got a lot of thoughts on that guy.
Oh.
Okay. Anyways.
One more thing.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So you asked about the crowd earlier, and I completely forgot to mention that Imanaga post game. I don't know where, like, someone asked him about the crowd, and he talked about how great it was, how it was even a little bit different than the first time he pitched here against the Rockies early in the season. Then he said that that recently he's been having trouble getting up in the morning, so that he's going to just change his alarm to the sound of the crowd at Wrigley Field, and that should get him up pretty quickly. So I don't know, just another show or example display of his personality. I think that's something that shines through every time he talks, is just the humor, the personality that he has.
This guy knows how to play to the crowd.
He's just being more and more endearing to the city, if anything.
You could set it to Chelsea Dagger really loud. That'd wake you up.
What he comes out to, you know.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Wait, Ryan, I want to know, like, was it about to start pouring before Bush hit the homer?
It was pouring.
I didn't get the view specific. I saw it raining. It was raining going to the bottom of the ninth, and I think it had lightened up a little bit as he stepped to the plate. But
yeah,
there was
the
like
cell phone.
There was like a flash of lightning as I can't remember who was pitching in that inning. As the pitch Wonder was Boy. Like let go, it was like lightning as the pitch was let go, and then obviously Michael Bush brought the thunder to make sure
he grabbed Wonder Boy. The lightning went off, and then he swung and go watch The Natural, greatest baseball movie.
Yep,
in my mind, my favorite baseball movie over. Want to go have a catch.
I'm just glad
which
we're not
nobody
watching
should
it.
Ever say.
I'm just glad we're not watching it right now during a rain delay. That's all I care
that's
about.
Right.
That's good.
All right, we're good. And so now tomorrow, Wesneski against Cease, and the Cubs have not lost a series at Wrigley Field this season. Home field vibes.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't do well against Cease last time in San Diego. It's a Dylan Cease revenge game again. I mean, I personally don't feel great about it, and that's why I was, for most of this game, freaking at new levels of angry. And then just, I was honestly more relieved that they won this game than excited. So I am once again asking them to prove me wrong tomorrow. I don't feel great about tomorrow. I don't feel great.
On the mound tomorrow?
Yep, yep. Maybe he'll start a new streak of scoreless games for the starters.
Yeah. I mean, I feel...
30 was impressive.
I feel good about the pitching tomorrow. I feel like the Cubs aren't going to do a ton of giving up runs, but are they going to score? That's a big question. They couldn't score off Vasquez tonight. Even Ryan said that they should have scored off him tonight. So,
hey, stop with the negativity. It was 3-2. The negativity.
You literally said it.
All of a sudden, he's ending the show with negativity. The Cubs won in walk-off fashion.
Because you're the reporter or whatever. You literally said that they should have scored more off Vasquez.
Well, they should have, but Ryan sounded like a slight.
Shota, Sai.
For fuck's sake, brother. I don't know what to say.
Shota, Sai, Imanaga was shoving.
Yes.
Okay? Then Bellinger came back and did his thing. Then Bush walks it off. Then Cody does a beer bat chug in less than 10 seconds.
Oh.
Can all agree this was a good day.
It was, again, I'm happy they won and I'm excited. And but at the same time, I'm also relieved. Prove me wrong tomorrow. Score. Get some hits and score off Dylan Cease. You did it against Freddy Peralta on Sunday. Do it against Dylan Cease tomorrow. All right? That's all I got.
And first, hit the like button on the way out. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs postgame show podcast. Thanks to everybody that was in the live chat. We appreciate you. Thanks for all the super chats tonight. And we will be back for a full 1 hour after tomorrow's day game with a postgame show for you right here on CHGO Sports YouTube page and also on the podcast. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And fly the W.
Y'all silly like the mayor.